once again here at the 2014 BI's PERS Symposium, and they're celebrating their 20th anniversary of the event. And Dr. Joe Connor with Carthage Vet School just talked to us about the comparison of the PRV virus to PERS, and the overall question is, can the eradication of PRS apply to PERS? And there's lots of looming questions within that, but kind of hit the highlights on that. And first of all, let's kind of talk about the cost compared, comparing the both.
Yeah, thank you. It was a great opportunity for me to really look back, because I was involved in the eradication of PRV. And as we sit here today and we look at the tremendous cost of PRS as a veterinary industry and as producers, we need to look closely at that and start making decisions about what we can do, not only control, but long-term to eliminate the virus. What I tried to do today was to show that there's a tremendous number of parallels between the program that was put in place for PRV and the success of the program in the area regional control management that's been put in place as well. And I think if we take a look at the ARC programs and we match those up and we continue to collect data, we can continue to build support that they can be successful. Within that, just like PRV, we had a number of setbacks, and there are different restrictions we have as we think about PRS compared to PRV, but I think we have to be optimistic about the success that we have had, and we're much further along with the tools today than what we had when we started PRV eradication.
That was going to be my next question. 1975 to 2015, there's a long period of time there, and so the technologies have advanced. And as we look through your comparison in the charts today, there was a lot of similarities, as you pointed out. What do we have today that we didn't have then?
Well, we got a lot of different tools. First and foremost, the veterinarians have had experience in a number of disease eradication programs, at least on the individual herd basis. Two, we have segregated production, so we've got a very, very high percentage of herds that are separated into breed to wean and then wean to finish or nursery finishing. And that by itself gives us a number of different opportunities to eliminate disease. We've certainly intensified biosecurity. We've all, because of the PERS control that we've had and the PERS prevention, and then intensified certainly in the last 18 months with PED, have moved biosecurity up to another level. And we've looked at a number of risk factors, and we'll continue to look at those, all which then link themselves as well to PRS.
So the question is, where do we go from here today? Looking into not just the next year, but the next 5-10 years, what can be done to eradicate it and keep it eradicated?
Yeah, so what I also tried to point out that there's clearly differences and clearly restrictions. And with PRV, we had at the end of that program highly effective vaccines, and particularly a vaccine that would prevent a transfer of the virus to the fetus. We have effective vaccines for PRS, but at this point they do not transfer or prevent the transfer of the virus from the dam to the fetus. So when sowherds become infected, we immediately get discouraged, because we'll go back to having abortions, weak pigs, high prenatal mortality, and then the downstream flow with that. At the same point, though, we've had enough success as we look at, and if we're patient, of doing individual herds and areas with all of the tools we have today, and generally those projects have been successful. There was a question at the end about how do we handle the last herd, and we certainly got to address that. It's likely in today's economics, this is going to have to be producer funded. So when we get down to a minimum number of herds in an area, we're going to have to figure out how to get them on a program or what alternatives we have with them. One of the clear distinctions we had with the PRV program is that it was a federal state producer program. And so at the end, we had tools on how to manage those individual herds that either were not making progress or were not interested in making progress. Today, though, I'm still confident as we move forward that with the peer pressure, the ongoing changes in the industry, the recognition of the cost of this virus, that we'll figure out how to make those decisions and push those decisions in production areas.
Well, you talked about during the Q&A, the global eradication and perspective came about. Would you like to hit on that, on what's being done globally? You talked about Chile during your presentation.
Yeah, so as you would expect, that number one, that we certainly have countries that have not become infected with PRS, and so they will remain at very high biosecurity, a lot of restrictions for movement. We've had other countries, such as Chile, that have had a relatively low infection rate and decided to eliminate the virus out of the country. Chile was successful. They've just recently become infected again, at least in parts. So I think it does say that in a global economy, we always have these risks that we've got to continue to try to minimize. And again, we can see that ourselves in the U.S. with PED. But these countries that are geographically less densely populated, Chile being an example on pig production, that have lead producers, large producers that are taking the leads within those countries, are going to continue to look forward and in their case eliminate the virus again out of the country.
Well, thank you, Dr. Connor, for giving a perspective on these two important diseases that have affected the swine industry across the country. Once again, talking to Dr. Joe Connor with Carthage Vet School here at BI's PRRS Symposium, I'm Jamie Johansson.